morning, church. Today we are reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be the holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. This morning we begin a six-part sermon series from the letter to the Ephesian church, which Paul wrote about 2,000 years ago. If you have read through this letter, there's so many things that Paul is teaching, right? You can spend a lot of time looking at this letter. But in the next few weeks, what we're going to think about or trace through this letter is the theme of the church. What does the church look like? What is our identity? How are we going to organize ourselves? How can we be the church in the world, not just inside a building? And how do we stand against the opposition as a church? And our hope and prayer is that this brief sermon series will help us to appreciate church, not the building, but the people. And that we might rediscover and recover and recommit to our calling as God's people to bring praises to God and be a light to the world around us. So allow me to quickly pray before we get on to today's message. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word that we've just read. And Father, as I go through, Lord, these words, Father, help me to proclaim your truth. And Father, help us all to listen and, Lord, to understand and allow your Holy Spirit to minister to us. But Lord, that we may truly praise you for knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. How blessed are we? How blessed are we? And as you know, I had a birthday last week. And thank you for all those who wished me. I really appreciate it. And it gave me an opportunity to just pause and reflect back on the year that has gone by, how God has blessed to take time to thank God for His provision, His protection, and His presence in my life. And incidentally, it was also Australia Day on the 26th of January, where people took time to reflect and give thanks as a Christian, but to reflect on how blessed we are as a country, right? The natural beauty, the diversity, the values, the history of this country. Now, this is kind of what Paul is doing as he begins this letter. As he starts to think about the church, each individual that he has probably brought into faith, the spiritual progress, the diversity of the church, the challenges they are facing, the opportunities that they have for the gospel, he takes a moment to reflect on how blessed the church is. And the very first thing that comes to his mind is to praise God. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Not because of the buildings or the properties that the church owned. Not because of the weekly offering is doing really well. Not because of the leaders, the singers, the musicians that the church has. No, all these things are great blessings. But what Paul has in mind, or what Paul, where Paul's mind goes, is not there, but verse 3 continues to remind us that God has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You see, he warns his readers for a moment to forget the earthly material blessings that are here today and gone tomorrow. Instead, he wants them to think about the enormous spiritual blessing that we have because we are followers of Jesus. And you may have noticed the word "in Christ" appeared around 11 times in verses between verses 3 and 14. This is again to remind us, if you've forgotten it, the blessings we have are in Christ because of Jesus. Then in verse 4 to 14, Paul goes on to explain, doesn't he, about how blessed we are, these blessings that we have in Christ. Now the original Greek, in the original Greek, verse 3 to 14 is this one long sentence without full stops, right? It seems as Paul was starting to write this letter, he kind of got carried away with it, right? He started praising God and he just kept going. And the guy he was dictating it did the same, or writing it did the same. Thankfully, our modern translations have full stops, so we can just stop and read it clearly. And make sense of it. And these verses are so rich in theology and doctrine. And some of the commentators who tried to explain what is happening here wrote these things. And said, these verses are like a magnificent gateway. Just imagine that. A magnificent gateway. A golden chain with many links. A kaleidoscope of dazzling lights. A snowball tumbling down a hill, picking up volume as it goes down. A racehorse running at speed. An operatic overture with successive melodies. Or a flight of an eagle, just soaring up in the sky. Because it's so rich and deep and colorful. So we won't have the time to explore every detail of these verses, but I want to focus on three things this morning. I want you to remember three words which came up earlier. Chosen, redeemed, sealed. Chosen, redeemed, sealed. Now, back in Sri Lanka, when we were talking about Sunday school, where Shola talked about Nigeria, about 600-700 kids in a Sunday school, where I attended Sunday school, we had about 300 kids. And I don't know whether this was the case back in Nigeria, but we had houses like in a normal school, right? And which means throughout the year there were competitions like quizzes and drama and singing and various activities. And at the end of the year, the house which got more points would get a trophy. Now, I remember the year that I was chosen to be the captain of one of these houses. I was so excited because I had actually fulfilled the expectations of the selection committee. I was so excited because I get to lead a group of people. I was so excited because I get to carry the house flag around. I was so excited if we won, I could go up and carry this trophy, right? The very first thing Paul praises God for in this letter is because we are chosen by God. Every believer in Jesus is chosen by God. Verse 4, Paul says, "For he chose us in him." Imagine that God of the whole universe has chosen us to be in his team. And what is striking, even more mind-blowing, is when did this choosing happen? Verse 4 continues, before the creation of the world. Did you see that? Before the very first human beings came on earth. In fact, even before the time began, before the clock started ticking, before anything and everything had ever been created, God chose you and me to be his people, to be holy and blameless in his sight. But on what basis did God choose us? Verse 5. In love. God chose us because he loved us. God didn't start loving us when we were born, thinking, oh, see how cute they are. God didn't start loving us at the day when we got baptized and came out of the water. No, there was nothing we could do because we were not there. You see, God's love for us dates back past eternity. It's something hard to get our mind around, isn't it? In love, Paul says, but God predestined his people, which means he predestined us for adoption to sonship. Now, predestined means that he pre-decided, he predetermined that he would adopt those who has chosen to be his children. Now, he didn't do it grudgingly, I should include them. No. He took delight. It was his pleasure choosing you and me to adopt us into his family. You know, in Paul's day, a child who was adopted, this child was given full rights as a natural child. He gets to have the family name, no longer an orphan, but an heir, a family member. The child has unlimited, unmerited, unconditional access to the Father and all what the Father has. And this is what God planned for his children whom he would adopt into his family. Before time began, Now, we may not fully able to comprehend how this all works together. But the truth that should excite us and cause us to praise God is that you and I are here, not here because of an accident. You and I are not here because we are an afterthought. You and I are not here because we are a wild card entry into God's family. No, you and I are here because of a careful, loving, delightful, pre-planned, pre-decision, pre-choice of an enormously loving God. You and I are chosen by God. The second reason why Paul praises God is the second word. We are redeemed by Jesus. Now, you may have done this. People often begin a new year with a grand New Year's resolution. You might want to do something special, something extravagant, something that you haven't done before. But the reality is, you may have already failed those New Year's resolutions because you didn't have a plan. Or if you had a plan, you didn't stick with that plan. Now God, in eternity past, had in mind to have you and I adopted into His family as His children. Make us holy and blameless people. But how did He do this? Because when Paul says God wanted us to be holy and blameless, there's an assumption, right, that we are not holy and blameless. When Paul says God wanted to adopt us into His family, there's an assumption that we are not His children. The first few verses of chapter 2 in Ephesians, Paul describes our status, right? That we were dead in our sin and transgression. We were disobedient, following the ways of this world and the ways of the devil. By nature, we deserve God's wrath because we were enemies with God. So in order to adopt us and make us His people, God had to deal with the problem of sin. So what does He do? He comes up with a plan. He comes up with a plan. And if you remember verse 6, He already alluded to this plan because it is through Jesus that God would do this. It is through Jesus that God would adopt us. How? Verse 7, God planned that we would be redeemed and our sins would be forgiven on account of Jesus, specifically on account of the blood of Jesus. You see, the cross was one of the most foolish things that the world has ever seen. It was one of the most gruesome things that the world has ever seen. But it was God's wise, eternal plan from eternity. Verse 9 to 10, it says this was a mystery. Something that was unclear, something that has been hidden in the past. But with the coming of Jesus, His death on the cross, God has fully uncovered this mystery. Now we know that God has fully and finally dealt with our problem of sin on the cross of Jesus. Because Jesus became our substitute on the cross. And as we will remember later today, all of our sin, all of our debts, all of our ungodliness, the consequences of our sin were all laid on Jesus. Jesus died our death on a cross. And now because of His death, Paul says, God has forgiven all our sins and He has redeemed us. He has rescued us, pulled us from slavery to sin, redeemed us from His own wrath. Why? So that you and I can be adopted as his children. And again, you see, he doesn't want us to kind of go away thinking, wow, I deserved all that. I did so many things to deserve God kind of sending Jesus to die on a cross. He says, no, 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 no. It's not the case. It is because we have a God who is incredibly rich in mercy. And he has not just kind of thrown a few crumbs or drops of grace. No, he has lavished, he has poured out his grace on us. That's why we have been adopted into his family because of Jesus. So if you're a follower of Jesus, this is who you are. This is who I am. Chosen by God, redeemed and forgiven by Jesus. Finally, Paul wants his followers to know and get excited because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Have a look at verse 13. Now, Paul is talking here to the non-Jewish people in the church in Ephesus. And he wants them to know, not just the Jewish people, but you are also included in Christ. Why? Because you have heard the good news of Jesus and you have believed in the good news of Jesus. See, Paul is reminding the church the only way to be part of God's family, the church, is by believing in the good news that Jesus has died to redeem and forgive us. And now Paul says, when you believed, God didn't just redeem you and forgive your sins and left you there. No, he says, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Paul probably thought of a practice during his time where the household slaves were actually tagged. They were branded on their shoulder or somewhere in the body with a burning hot iron to say this slave belongs to a certain person. The closest illustration that I can kind of think about is a traveling bag that we take on a trip. Right? We put a tag on it, right? We tag it, we write our address, our name, so that if it gets lost, people know who it belongs to. When we are putting a tag, we claim it as our own, right? Paul says, when you believed in Jesus, God tagged you by putting his Holy Spirit in you. To say, now you and I are God's possession. You belong to God. No one can snatch you from God now. You have become his responsibility. The Holy Spirit goes to work to transform us, to change us, so that we might become more and more like his son, Jesus. He takes on the responsibility to make us holy and blameless in God's sight. But the Holy Spirit also is a seal, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. What is our inheritance? Our inheritance is eternity with God. God giving us this seal, this Holy Spirit, is like an engagement ring, right? You know, the very first thing when somebody comes and says, hey, I got engaged, the very first question I ask is, when are you getting married? Because when somebody's engaged, wedding is guaranteed, right? It is the next thing to come. Similarly, when the Holy Spirit is in us, working in us to change us and transform us, it is a guarantee that God has kept eternity ready for us. That He will fully and finally redeem us. That we will spend eternity with God. That we will inherit eternal life. That our bodies will be resurrected back to life. And we will have glorious bodies. Which means now we can live with the confidence of eternity, can't we, friends? We can have the confidence that whatever life throws at us in this journey, God will keep His people secure and safe for that day. And He will make sure that we receive our inheritance. Because it all depends on Him. How blessed are we, chosen by God, redeemed by God, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Chosen, redeemed, and sealed. This is who we are as a church, isn't it? A collection of people who are chosen, redeemed, and sealed. In the second half of this letter, which we didn't read, Paul goes on to pray, and his prayer is essentially that you and I will get this. You and I will understand how blessed we are, that our eyes, not these eyes, but eyes of our hearts will be opened and enlightened, that we will see how glorious God is, and in Him, in Jesus, the blessings that we have. And that should be our prayer, isn't it? Our prayer for ourselves, that God might open our eyes. That should be our prayer for one another, that God might open their eyes. But then finally, just want to ask the question, why? Why did God redeem us? Why did God choose us? Why did God redeem us? Why did God put a seal on us? And why did He bless us in heavenly realms? You may have noticed three times in these verses, Paul talks about praising God's glory. The reason why God chose us, redeemed us, and sealed us is that we might praise God. Praise His glory. At the end of the day, the church, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing so that we might declare God's praises and give Him all the glory. Which means we must take time to talk about God's character. We must take time to write and sing and even draw about God's majesty. We must resolve to boast in Jesus alone, because God has done everything in Jesus for us. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing so that we might not just sing or talk about His glory, but live for His glory. You see, friends, God's desire is that through us, God might display His glory to the world. God might display His character to the world. So our lives must and should tell a story. The story of God's grace. The story of God's love, His power. The way we talk, the way we treat others, the way we raise our kids, the way we treat our spouses, the way we go about life, the way we handle money, the way we deal with sickness and difficult seasons should tell a story that we are chosen, redeemed, and sealed by God. So that at the end of the day, when people see us, they won't praise us. They won't put us on a pedestal, but they will praise God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul started doing at the beginning of the letter, right? Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chosen, redeemed, sealed for God's glory. Chosen, redeemed, sealed for God's glory. Let me pray before we finish. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks once again for the opportunity for us to just pause and remind ourselves our relationship with you, as sons and daughters, no longer enemies, made possible not because we've done anything, but because Jesus gave himself up on a cross. And now we are your children, looking forward to spend eternity with you. So Father, take us out today, knowing full well that we belong to you, and help us to be good witnesses of Jesus wherever we are. Amen.